Shabbat Shalom to everybody out there in cyberspace. Okay, let me start the video and we'll get going. That's a countdown, always, I hope. It's not counting down. What happened?
Take yourself off
the video. There you go. Countdown. Now put the and the study's up and I'm on the mic.
Okay.
Shabbat Shalom. We're one of Messiah congregation. Kahacha b'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. Let's ask God to bless this Sabbath today, this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we thank and praise you again for the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us from sin. We thank you, Father, for eternal life. We thank you for being here, for being with us today in Yeshua's name. May you bless everyone on the internet, everyone around here, and everyone that will come. May you open doors for us in Yeshua's name. Bless this reading. Let it be fruitful for everyone in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's my website still running. There's my phone number, still works. And there's my email, it still works. And we're at 101 Forest Crossing Boulevard today, Franklin, Tennessee. That's where we're at. Suite 105A.
In case anyone wants to come.
Today is, well, today is July 5th, 2025. And that's named after Julius Caesar. Julius, July. Isn't that amazing? He reformed the Roman calendar, hence the Julian calendar we have now. In 46 BC. Okay, in process, he renamed the month after himself. We have the Gregorian calendar now, yeah. Anyway, God's calendar. We are now in the fourth month of God, day 9, which has no scriptural name for some reason. We don't know why. Today's topic, wow, few there be saved, yeah. Let's see what we got there from. Are there few that be saved? This is the Gospel of Luke. And Yeshua said, whereunto shall I liken this kingdom of God? He said, it's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
What does that mean?
Well, the kingdom of heaven might seem little down here, but it's really, it's amazing. It's enormous. That's what that means. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. Okay? Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? That's what the study's all about. And he said unto them, you got to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Just like all the Protestants, they think they're going to church on Sunday, mm-hmm. and all the other religions. They think they got a fake God. But they shall not be able to find it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not who you are. Wow. Wow, I don't even know you. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not who you are. Depart from me, all you that workers of iniquity. And just think, all the people out there, most of them don't know about the feast of God. They eat anything and they don't keep the Sabbath. They don't keep the Ten Commandments.
They believe what they think of.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourselves thrust out. Wow. Right, last few weeks I did some real long studies. Today's a short study, but I just wanted to make sure you don't think it's too short, okay? And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Wow. That's interesting. Here's the Gospel of Matthew. Again, he says, enter you in at the straight gate. Straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. That's Broadway, yeah. When we go down to Broadway, that's what it reminds me of. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be there which go in thereat. Even when we go in Nashville, we go down to the Broadway.
Very wide.
It's just very wide, and millions of people lost. None of them have any idea about God. He said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it.
What does it mean, straight mean?
Straight means straight is the way. There's only one way to walk in God. And straight means...
The more difficult.
More difficult, yeah. Straight is the gate.
Excellent.
And narrow is the way. Yeah. So narrow is the way and straight is the gate. It's a little more hard to get there. Which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Only a few find it. Wow. That's interesting. Only a few that find it.
But you have to work for it.
Here's Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to find laborers into his vineyard. To find laborers into his vineyard. To hire laborers for his vineyard, right? When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. Now, he went out the third hour. Now he's going out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others idle standing unto, and he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man had hired us. He said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Right? So he's trying to be honest, fair. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers, and give unto them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Amen. From the last to the first, right. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Wow. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. I wonder why, because they all agreed to that. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Wow, that's bad. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. Well, you should, that's the way it works. But he answered and said unto them, he answered one of them and said, friend, I do you no wrong. Did not you agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go your way, and I'll give unto the last even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?
Did what he said.
So the last shall be first, yeah, and the first last. Many are called, but only few are chosen. Wow, that's a scary thing, huh? Just a few are chosen.
What's the first and last? Last shall be first, and first shall be last. What does that mean?
The first, the last shall be first. The ones that came last in his parable, they received every man a penny, and the last shall be first in, and the first is going to be last.
So no matter how long you've been waiting, right?
For many are called, but few are chosen. That's what
sometimes
it means.
Sometimes the last people get in first.
Yeah, the last. Sometimes the
it
last people get in.
How old you are, yeah.
Right, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. How old you are.
Here's Matthew 22. Yeshua answered and spoke unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. That said, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, the other to his merchandise, right? And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Wow, that's terrible. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. That's good. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Wow. Just think of all the people out there that are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. Yeah. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. I never understood why bad and good, and they all came in. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He wasn't ready. And he said unto him, friend, how come you in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Many are called, but a few are chosen. Amen. And we want to be one of the few, right? Yeah. Same thing happened in the worldwide flood, you know. This is Genesis 6. Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I can't imagine what he thinks today. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I can't imagine what he thinks today. What God thinks of everybody. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Can you believe
that?
That's mankind.
That's mankind. This is sad. It repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Wow. And Jehovah said, I will destroy mankind whom I have just created from face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for he repented me that I have made them. So I wonder how he feels now after all these years. I mean, nowadays they got homosexual parades in Israel, and homosexuals are running wild, and it's a third preference and all kind of crazy stuff. People do all kind of crazy stuff. His brother Peter, he says basically the same thing. For Messiah also had suffered once for sinners, for sin, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. By the which also he, Messiah, went and preached unto the spirits in hell, prison. They're in prison right now. Mm-hmm. All those people in the flood, that's where they all are. They're in a place called hell right now. All the ones that didn't get on the ark. How many people got there saved? Eight. Mm-hmm. That's few. Few there be that found it. He says, which also he Messiah went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient. They were disobedient, which once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. This thing took Noah 100 years to build the ark. Nobody got on. We don't know how many people helped him, but majority of the world just said, Noah's nuts.
Same thing today, how many people are interested?
While the ark was preparing, we're in few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing all through the Bible. A remnant of Jews. Not all the Jews are going to make it. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, just a remnant shall be saved. A remnant. Yeah. That's pretty sad. God says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Jehovah make upon the earth. Amen. To us it might feel long, to him it's short, you know.
Exactly.
Well, where does it say, where do we get that from? That was in, that was in Isaiah. Here's Isaiah 10. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. This is the remnant. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, of Israel, unto the mighty God. Mm-hmm. So that's who's going to make it out of all Israel. And we've been to Israel, you know. We couldn't find anyone that was keeping the commandments, hardly. I don't think we found anybody, did we? Mm-hmm. Even the Messianics there, they had some kind of crazy thing going on. For though, it says, though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. Amen. Mm-hmm. Revelation has the same story from Genesis to Revelation. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Wow. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Saying, hurt not the earth, and don't hurt the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Amen. And I heard the number of them that were sealed. These are the remnant. There was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Remember that there was millions of them. Now there's only 144,000. Wow. Here's a multitude of nations, Gentiles. John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Amen. Mm-hmm. Here's Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So this is like, sounds like Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel, yeah. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And here's what we got to worry about. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Just think he's a, that's what he thinks. And his, the great red dragon's tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And that could be a lot of the angels too. Yeah, it could be a lot of the angels brought down and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's never going to happen. That never happened. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's Messiah. Mm-hmm. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Amen. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1260, approximately 3.5 years, yeah.
1260.
Yeah. 1260. Yeah.
1260 days.
That's right. And there was war in heaven. This is how it all started. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, which is sort of ridiculous. And of course the devil prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. No more. Satan is not going to be any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, he's kicked out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. And he is deceiving the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the angels that sinned, they're all in hell, and Satan is on the earth deceiving the whole world. He makes it seem like nothing's happening, huh, too? He makes it seem like everything's normal. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser, Satan, he's the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night." Just think, Satan's trying to accuse us. "And they overcame the devil," amen, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Amen. So that's the pretty good. You know the end of the story. He says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them." Then he says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." That's all the people on the earth. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he had a short time." So Satan knows he has a little bit of time. That's all he's got. "And the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Wow. That's Israel, yeah. "And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time," sounds like 3.5 years, "from the face of the serpent."
It's Israel, right?
Yeah, it's Israel. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." So that's all the false doctrines and all the crazy stuff the devil has. "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Right? And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Not only the remnant of Israel, but also the ones that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. And that's what we got to be. That's why the devil's after us. Anyway, in closing for today, this is a short study today. All I can say is be one of the few that make it. Keep God's commandments. And his commandments entail feasts and all kinds of different things you have to read in the Torah. May God bless you. I know this is a short study today, but all the other studies last couple weeks were long. So I wanted to just fill you in on a few there be that find it.
Yep.
And only few. And you can go back to, of course, Noah. There was like 8 people that made it, right?
Yeah, 8 people.
8 people out of the whole world. So out of the whole world today, how many people do you think are going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let me put up the title again. Few there be, few be saved. Amen. God bless you. May God be with you. May God bless the food we eat and make it for the nourishment of our bodies. May God heal everyone that needs healing in their bodies and their souls and minds. May God comfort us, and may God lead, guide, and direct us in what he wants us to do in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. And I know this is maybe shocked you that's a little short, but that was it. God bless you. Shabbat shalom. If you have anything to say, come on up.
Shabbat shalom.
Good to see you, John, and family, too. Yeah, you know what? I guess we have to always remember it's a pearl of great price. And you sell everything for that pearl, for that, because heaven is very important. And we have to remember it's more important in our life here. So, you know, be happy, good, have a good life, keep God's commandments, and, you know, always press towards the prize, which is heaven. So, Shabbat Shalom.
Everyone. I just wanted to say, you know, when I found the truth, to me it was the greatest thing in the world, you know. And when you find, and I've been doing this for quite a long time now, but when you find how little interest people have, it just reminds you, as in the days of Noah, only 6 people got on that ark.
8 people got on the ark.
8. And then also, yeah, there could have been people helping Noah build the ark. There was not a lot of interest even during his time because 8 people got on the ark, you know. So people fall along the way for all kinds of different reasons. But only God knows the heart of each person, you know. And it, to me, I just thank God for his mercy, you know, for his blessing of sharing the truth with me. And I'm just so thankful that I have found the truth in years that I know of truth. And this life is short, you know, so you think of, I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and now I'm in the last third of my life, so what would make me want to change? Nothing, because I really look forward to the day that, you know, I can be with God, because I believe he's so strong, you know, and this world is so corrupt. What is there that I would entice me over the things of God? Nothing. And I just praise the Lord for his truth, and, you know, that we've learned this, and, you know, for our future after this life. Shabbat shalom.
Yeah, Shabbat shalom. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I want to thank God for the privilege again that he has given to us to meet this week again. Every Shabbat, it's a moment of for brethren to come together and to discuss meaningful and important things as regards our life and our relationship with God. It's a good thing that we want to build this perfect relationship each and every day, because God has given us the principles of how we should live our life. You know, the Torah has always been one of the things that we look up to, our guide, in our daily life, we always meditate in it. It's a last time, I remember the Shabbat last week, I was telling my kid, it's not about memorizing the verses, but it's about applying what you read from every other chapter. So Christians, they will teach their children, memorize John 3:16, memorize this, that, and then they don't apply to them. That is righteousness. When you can memorize the scripture, that is righteousness. I think the memorizing comes from trying to live your life, remembering what the Torah says. When the Torah says, don't do this, that is meditation. And every day we try to meditate, thinking what the Torah says, and we apply it in our daily life. And I was telling them today, you know, everything that God says, don't do, look at the world, a lot of the world today, the people, that's what they do. When God says, don't this, that's what people do. No more life for them. God says, don't do that. It's what everybody does. And then, so we try to see that we don't do it. It's a mandatory thing for us. We don't do it. So we, and why, how do we know? Because God says so. So if He is the one that created the universe, and He knows everything that is good for us, and He gave us a template, why should we argue with Him? Why should we reject His ways and then listen to people outside that end up interpreting the principles wrongly?